Welcome to The Waggle, presented by Sport Clips, the official podcast of the Canadian Football League.
Welcome, welcome once again to The Waggle podcast, a podcast brought to you by us here at the CFL, but really it's brought to you by our friends at Sport Clips, and they love you so much. It is Customer Appreciation Week at Sport Clips, so make sure you get in, get that MVP experience. You could double down and get two. You know, you get the beard trimming, you get great stylists. You don't have to make an appointment if you want to. You can do it online or even download the app. But they're taking care of you, giving you great savings. So make sure you get in there this week to get clean. This week, it's not Dave Sanchez joining me, me being Donovan Bennett. It is Brody Lawson. Hey, Brody. First of all, actually, Happy New Year. Is it too late to say Happy New Year? Like, when's the cutoff? This is the first time I'm seeing you in the flesh in 2020. Had to remind myself what year it is. But, like, at what point do you just stop saying Happy New Year? Is it now?
No, I think your first interaction in January counts. And then beyond that, we're done. So I think it's okay to say
Happy New Year. Feb 1.
We're done.
Okay. It's toast. Got it. All right.
January counts.
Weigh in, let us know what you think via social. What I don't like is, and I don't know if anyone here in the CFL office does this, there are some culprits at Sportsnet.
Okay.
And it's not the worst thing in the world, but the person who, you know, you're doing laps, walking around, getting your steps in, and this person you see in the hallway, you see them once, see them twice, do the not following you thing, right? And then you see them like, let's say four times, five times, crazy day, six times. And they say hi every single time. Like, are we gonna really like do a high five as we pass each other every time? Like, first hi, obligatory. How you doing? Case of the Mondays. How's the family? This weather we're having. It's cold. Whatever. But then like time three, time four. Can we just head nod, a little acknowledgement, and
totally
keep it moving? Like, I'm busy. I'm trying to leave.
Totally. That's what working in an office is. You see people all day. You don't say hi every time. Again, maybe that makes me sound unfriendly, but I think people are doing their thing.
You're definitely not.
I think you're right.
You're definitely not unfriendly. You had something exciting you were getting ready for, although getting fit was not part of getting ready. It was just getting ready to have the wedding of the year.
The wedding of the year.
Maybe the wedding of the century. The CFL royal wedding.
Oh my God.
Went down, and your nuptials happened like mere weeks ago.
Yeah. A month today that we're recording. So I've been married a month.
Okay.
We got married December 21st in Toronto. It was beautiful and fun. And we had a ton of people there from the CFL, actually. We took a huge CFL group photo, which was a blast.
How many were we talking about?
I think there were 10 people plus spouses who were all really close. So we all know their spouses really well, which was super fun. It was a blast, so thank you. And I just got back from my honeymoon, so I'm trying to get caught up on all things CFL, because to be honest, and I hope you did the same on your honeymoon, my husband and I, we put our phones away more or less and would put it on airplane mode for the day, and I wasn't really reading the news, which was maybe not the smartest thing. But I was like, there's so little time today to actually just disengage. So we did that. But in the process, I feel a little behind.
My next question is, what CFL city was your honeymoon? Like, I feel like you, of all people, like, maybe you did a tour of all the CFL cities.
Let's have people vote for that. And you can
first
pitch us your city.
Ever in Regina. Brody Lawson. No, where did you go?
We went to Australia and we went to New Zealand.
Not bad.
We saved up our points. So we flew on points, which was a huge help. And we wanted to go far because it's like one of the few times you can do it. And it's quiet in the CFL over Christmas, so you can actually go.
Yes. And now when you would have booked this
at
the time, you would not have known
that
Australia would literally be burning, such a catastrophe. And if you're listening, there's still obviously time to support whatever organization, whether it's the Red Cross. There's many organizations gathering money because they still need it. And shout out to all the volunteer firefighters that are helping. The Australian Open still going on via sports, so make sure you support our Canadians in that endeavor. What was it like for you to be there?
It was, so I have to be honest, it was a really strange thing because we were in places where there was no smoke, it was perfectly clear, and nobody talked about it.
Well, really?
Servers didn't talk about it, people you bumped into didn't talk about it. In the meantime, when I was on Instagram at the end of the day, catching up on stuff that was happening, my feed was flooded with the post of what was happening across the rest of the country. It was really a strange thing. Then we get to Sydney at the end of our stop, and it was very smoky, and it was hard to breathe. It was really sad. And what made it worse was we were going to New Zealand. And I say made it worse because I was so, frankly, anxious to get out of there because I couldn't breathe. And I felt so guilty sitting on the plane. I was so sad for the country. And I was just thinking of everyone who couldn't leave and all of the devastation that had already happened and the lasting impact of everything that happened. So I think you make a good point that there's rain there this week, but they're saying it's not going to put out all of the fires. So there's still so much more work that needs to be done. We donated to the New South Wales Rural Fire Services. I want to make sure I got that right because we were in New South Wales. Mm-hmm. Educate yourself if you can't donate, but help. It was devastating. It really was.
And you've done lots of traveling,
yeah,
personally, but you also have done it professionally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Via the CFL. And full disclosure, if it sounds any different, although it probably doesn't, we're not recording the podcast in our normal podcast space.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is being used
to prepare for the combine,
yes,
actually. The
yes.
Combine jerseys are all like laying out. They look fresh.
Yeah, Michael Steele.
I know you should. One of the sweatshirts. I like the sweatshirts.
The New Era guys do such a good job. So there's going to be some young, you know, person starting their CFL experience, yeah, that they're not going to have a uniform because I'm wearing one at home.
Yeah.
You know, our football ops group, who literally is jet setting across the globe, you know, is just getting back from some global combines. And as I say that, you know, Brazil becomes the most recent federation to join, and the first in South America, 13th nation total. So it's crazy just how this has exploded in just over a year. You've interacted with the players in the federations, the fans in the federations. And so to see where it's come so far, what are your thoughts?
It's cool. It's exciting. I haven't had a we have colleagues, like you said, that are over there right now. So last year I went to Mexico and Germany and had a chance to meet with members of the federation there. And I think what is most, I'm not going to say unique, but I think what I appreciated more than I thought I was going to was there's so many guys that are just trying to fulfill this dream. And mm-hmm. they're, especially when we were down in Mexico, there were a lot of guys that had been in the CFL, had gone to Mexico to continue their career. Like, there's a thriving football everywhere. And mm-hmm. I don't know if we ever talked about this, but in Mexico in particular, they have the way we have hockey practice and soccer practice, not dissimilar to football, but they have clubs that are specifically meant for football. And after school, from the time the kids are out of school all the way until like they are lights, it's 9 o'clock at night, there's kids from the ages of like 5 and 6 all the way up to like seniors in high school mm-hmm. playing football, boys and girls, mm-hmm. tackle and flag. It was the coolest thing. And we were in these little towns in, not really little, actually, Monterrey is a huge city, but sort of suburbs outside of Monterrey where this was happening. And I felt so ignorant. I mean, you never think you know everything, but I was like, this is happening. And if this is happening here, then where else is it happening? So I read in the press release this morning about Brazil, 18,000 registered players who compete in regional leagues.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
So you get a couple guys that are good enough. Greg Quick will take a look. And I mean, not right now, because I don't think we're doing one there, but there's combines happening all over Europe right now and then into Asia. I really wanted an invite to the Japan combine.
I think you'll get one.
I think the
Brazil, eventually, if there's a Brazil combine, that wouldn't be bad either. Listen, I'm going to be 100% honest.
You always are.
I mean, as Davis says, sometimes it's better to keep it like 97%.
Yeah, 97 is just good enough.
No one needs the real truth. But I wouldn't. CFL 2.0 was announced. I was a bit skeptical.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah.
You weren't sure.
And now to see where it is, I mean, just look at the countries. Austria, obviously Brazil, Great Britain, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Norway, Sweden. That's an eventual, a lot of nice stamps on your passport mm-hmm. is what that is for you. But I wasn't sure that that you would have players from these countries you know, not just playing like at a club level for recreation or for fun at a same level, be able to play at a high elite level,
totally,
like with lots of things at stake, and the caliber of player that's coming out of U Sports right now, mm-hmm, is so much better than when even I played. So for me to think that guys would be able to come across the water, literally assimilate with the culture, but also the level of sport and in a different game. Like even guys who, mm-hmm, played high NCAA, who had a time in the NFL. I mean, Cleo Lemon was a legit starter in the NFL and he came to the CFL and really struggled.
It happens annually.
Yes. Some
multiple times.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
So that's why I was really skeptical in terms of earmarking a roster spot and just putting a lot of investment. Like there's a lot of time, money, thought, mm-hmm, put into it. I wasn't necessarily sure that the cost was going to outweigh, or the benefit was going to outweigh the cost. But then you see that how it's expanding and more countries want in. And then you read stories that, like, our colleague Christina did a great job recapping kind of what it was like for Hansen to, mm-hmm, go back to Germany.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, let's transition, because we talked about it's New Year. People are kind of coming out of the holidays where they tried to disconnect. And
yeah,
so we wanted to just bounce around and touch on a few things that intrigued us that,
yes,
might be worth zeroing in on. And for me, that was it. I read the story with Hansen, who made such a great play in the Grey Cup of basically running poor Mike Daly into the returner. He talked about going back to Germany and being recognized on the street.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great story that's on CFL.ca. And him really owning, wanting to be the face of the global player. He was one of 17 that dressed, but he didn't just dress for numbers. He was a huge contributor on special teams, as we saw in the Grey Cup. Got some time on defense, mm-hmm, 5 defensive tackles, 2 forced fumbles, and a sack. Like, those are impact plays. Those are splash plays. So as we move forward and the numbers start to expand, I guess I'm still cautiously optimistic. I've moved from skeptical to cautiously optimistic, mm-hmm, that guys will continue to trickle over. But I think it bears watching that, you know, if Hansen can make the transition so quickly, as we expand the pool in terms of countries that we're getting players from, theoretically that talent will rise, because it's not like, okay, we've got to get guys from Germany and Mexico and that's it. We have so many other talented players across the globe that we can start to pick from. And hopefully that culture of, well, Hansen did well. He goes back to Germany. People see him. They recognize him. Okay, I want to do the same, right? And so when we're talking about a legacy being built, 15, 20, 25 years from now, when someone much more talented is hosting this podcast, we're talking about, like, man, who's the best German quarterback? Like, not who's the best German player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm cautiously optimistic we'll continue to build. That's the one thing, as we're seeing the reports and the testing numbers that have been pretty strong coming back from the global combine, that, mm-hmm, I'm more into reading those stories. Mm-hmm. And again, go to CFL.ca to check out the one on Hansen, than I was a year ago.
Well, you should be cautiously optimistic. Like, you're taking the right approach. Last year was year one.
Mm-hmm.
This is year two. There's more investment. We have a global director of scouting who's going to help look at all these guys, bring some over to the combine. Then you'll get a chance to look at them in person. Last year, a lot of the best players didn't come because they were skeptical of the program. So you make such a good point. Mm. You need someone like Hansen to go back and be like, no, this is very much legit. You should go. You should be disrupting your career in Germany. I mean, these guys are, it's hard to conceptualize, but we met with Hansen in Potsdam after he'd been drafted and he wasn't playing. He's on the sidelines. He's going crazy. All he wants to do is play. We could barely talk to him. The whole point was to interview him the whole game. We couldn't, because he just wants to play. These guys don't want to disrupt their playing time unless it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's the right approach, but I agree. Super intriguing. And our team is doing a great job covering it. So I check in on CFL.ca just to see kind of up to date what's happening.
What's
Florence coming up this weekend?
Yeah. There are worse places.
There's another one in Germany. Yeah, we have a colleague going to Florence. I'm like, please have some pasta for me.
Yeah,
enjoy. I mean, they have no time. They're so busy, but like, you can still. Everyone needs to eat.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you gotta eat.
What's intriguing you?
Well, that was number one on my list.
Was it really? Did I steal yours?
Yeah, I thought you knew that. That's why you said it.
No, I literally had no. Sorry, I would have shut up. I honestly had no idea.
So we are each going to pick two.
Well, evidently we're not anymore because we have the same one.
Well, now we know. Okay, so my second one, and I don't think, I'm probably stealing this from you.
Great minds think alike.
Well, it's January. We're getting things up and running. It's all good.
That's so
funny.
We don't
need to go into the weeds on this. We're talking like big picture.
Yes.
You're coming out of the holidays. Like, what are we looking at? So the second thing I'm looking at is free agency, which if you don't know, contracts expire February 11th at noon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming up shortly. And I think what's even more, or to get you more excited about it, is the top 30 free agent list, which comes out this week. And it always brings so much debate. There has been drama in the past over it. We love it. And I was a part of the committee this year for voting. So I was in the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, man. And it was a little different than, remember last year's free agency? How could you forget?
Yeah.
We had like quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And this year, not as many quarterbacks, but a couple of guys that signed 1 year contracts.
Everyone is signing 1 year contracts, which makes free agency every year intriguing. It's like the CFL is now the gig economy, where everyone just wants like short deals. Let me see. Let me bounce around.
I know. Which is hard for fans, but good for us to talk about. It gives us some fun drama.
Hard for fans, hard for families, good for content. So thank you. Thank you, CFL players. Thank you, PA.
So that list comes out this week. So I have an early look at it.
Mm.
So I have it in front of me, but I figured we could maybe talk about a couple guys we would put. I mean, we don't need to, like, again, go into the weeds on it, but if you're looking like high level, if these guys don't get re-signed, who are we looking at in your top five in no order? Not even listing five, just like who goes in that pool for you?
Who's my top five or who am I?
Like name,
the most
give me a few guys. Okay, most intriguing. I like that better because that leaves more.
Okay, well that's okay. I'm just gonna take Willie Jefferson off the table.
Yeah,
because I fully expect.
We should take Willie Jefferson out of the conversation.
Yes, because I think anyone would agree that he's one, and assuming he doesn't end up playing in the NFL, if he decides to play in the CFL again, and which is, I mean, it's not fait accompli, but Bolivar Mitchell had NFL opportunities, but he didn't want to jeopardize his legacy in the CFL to hold a clipboard. We'll see what type of offers Willie Jefferson gets and what ultimately he wants in life.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a practice roster guy? Is he a depth guy? Is he an outside linebacker? Is he a defensive end? Is he a three technique? Is he rushing off the edge? Is he a nine technique? Is his hand in the dirt? So I think he has to evaluate all of those situations
right.
and determine what he wants. And then ultimately, compensation, like anybody, is going to come into play.
But that combination's hard.
Certainly.
Because it's not always just compensation. It can't be.
Yeah.
If it's not somewhere you feel like you have, or a position you feel like you have a clear path forward,
well,
if it's super disruptive.
That's a great point. I'll give you a great example. The touchdown Beagle, Milt Stegall.
Right.
So Milt started in the NFL, obviously came and dominated the CFL. And I mean, I haven't talked to him about this, but just watching and the type of player he was.
Yeah.
I'm sure towards the end of his career, he could have gone to the NFL and transitioned and been an impact player or a role player. But I mean, he will never pay for a meal in Winnipeg. Forever.
Worth it. There's good food there. My favorite restaurant in the whole country is there.
Really? Which one?
Yeah, Clementine Cafe.
Okay.
Such good breakfast.
I will have to
Shout out to my friends there.
I'm in the
Peg. Oh my gosh, you haven't been?
No. No. I've only been to Winnipeg in and out on a couple of occasions.
So we take Willie Jefferson out for the reasons we've discussed. But
yes, I just said I wasn't going to discuss Willie Jefferson.
And now we did. But now we're going to move on. So another intriguing guy then.
Okay.
So we take him out.
So I'm gonna go on the people who would be on the top of my list.
Okay.
And I'm not actually gonna throw quarterbacks up there.
You aren't.
Because quarterbacks in this class, as my girl Shania would say, that don't impress me much.
Oh, okay. Sassy.
Jagaird Davis.
Yes.
All he does, make the Grey Cup. You want to get to the Grey Cup. I don't know if you're gonna win it. Sorry, yeah. Hamilton. But you want to get there, get that guy in your front four, get him rushing the passer. He's lived a charmed CFL life. Jagaire Davis is someone who would be on the top of my board. Shaq Evans. Shaq Evans went from a guy who was practice roster, depth guy, getting some time at the end of the year, making some splash plays. All of a sudden, he's an impact player. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most dominant receivers. Times out well with his free agency. I think you get Shaq Evans, you could then say, we project forward, he's going to be what we would call in football a red laser pointer guy. A guy in the meeting, the other team is spending so much time throughout the week preparing for him, circling him in the meetings with the red laser pointer. This is where he is. So even his value is not just statistical. We mm-hmm. can't just go to cfl.ca/stats and look at him. Where does he rank? It is what he does to defensive coordinators, keeping them up at night, but also any time spent preparing on him, everyone else is having an easier Friday or Saturday okay. because Shaq Evans is on your team. I think he can become that type of player. A guy who is that player right now is Darrell Walker.
Totally.
I think he's going to be more expensive than Shaq Evans.
I think so.
So that's why, in a weird way, I almost feel like Shaq Evans is a more valuable commodity mm-hmm. because I think the difference in their prices is not going to be as different as their production. Mm-hmm. But Darrell Walker's still on a terrible team. Sorry, Toronto. With the fluid quarterback situation, was still dominant. Mm-hmm. And so that's why those are my three non-Willie Jefferson guys that I like. I got someone who I'm interested in at the bottom of the list, but those are my top tier guys. What about you?
So I struggle with receivers the way that you're talking about them.
Okay.
Because, and maybe this is a hot take.
Okay.
So
I like
don't
it.
Get mad. And maybe it's unintelligent and uninformed, which is totally fine. It's just an opinion. But it seems like guys, receivers in mm-hmm. particular, can come in and kind of come out of nowhere. Mm. And you have guys that have these crazy hot years and they go for crazy dollars. And then the next year, whether they're put in a new system, maybe they're not working as hard, maybe they don't have as great of a connection with their quarterback, the offense is, they don't have as great a year. To me, the teams that do well are the teams that have, like a Willie Jefferson, to me, that's different. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's like someone really worth chasing down. I would probably put Darrell Walker. I would, but I still think for me, a quarterback, like if you don't have a good quarterback in this league, you are in trouble.
True.
Whereas I think receivers, they kind of come and go.
Okay. So a couple of things, and I love the thought process, GM Brody. I love it. I'm right there with you. You don't have to talk about Dron Carter like that. Right? You didn't say his name, but that's who I was
that
thinking
That isn't even who I was thinking
okay,
of.
Okay, right, sure.
But you did. You said it.
I said it, not you, but you thought it.
No,
so I understand what you're saying, okay. How fluid that position is. And I think historically you do need a good quarterback. I just don't know if there's a good quarterback on this list.
You don't.
I do not, which is why they're on the list.
I'm not like, even going to list them because I don't even want to call them out. Go look at the list. You guys can see who he's talking about.
The reason why last offseason was so fascinating mm-hmm. was because good quarterbacks never hit free agency. Never mind three of them at the same time.
Understood. That and was wild.
Because of the fact that the league literally was in flux given the CBA negotiations mm-hmm. because Bo Levi Mitchell had some NFL opportunities. That was a confluence of circumstances that allowed all those guys to be available at the same time. But normally, if you got a great quarterback, you lock them up and you lock them up early. See Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
They've got two. They're like Jeremiah Masoli.
I know.
You're
agree.
Not hitting free agency.
I know.
That's
I know.
Not happening.
I know.
Nick Arbuckle, who is on the list because he's eventually going to be a free agent, but not if the Ottawa Redblacks can do anything
I know,
about it.
I know.
They traded real capital just to be able to talk to him a month early.
Totally.
So assuming they get a deal done, and just to preview, that will be one of my relationships that I talk about later. since Brody is recently got married and she's in a CFL power couple, we're going to break down our CFL power couples that were intrigued by it.
And just to be clear, I didn't marry a CFL player. It's not a CFL power couple from that standpoint.
No, all the or anyone all in the power in the couple is you.
Is yeah, me. 100%. Just to be clear, it's not in the league at all. Although I get asked that a lot.
He could be.
It's so
he could,
weird.
Tall guy. He could be a D-end. So
I totally disrupted your thought. Yeah, talking about Nick Arbuckle, quarterbacks, they're not going to let him even get to free agency.
So the guys who are on the list.
Yeah. Zach Caleros, Matt Nichols, Nick Arbuckle. Who else do we have?
Chris Streveler.
Meh.
And so.
McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Basically, Winnipeg's quarterback room and McLeod Bethel Thompson is who's going to be your.
They won the Grey Cup,
but not
thanks to their. I knew you were going to. I know.
And that's my second point is talking about the fact that receivers are a little bit fluid and maybe not as valuable. I think Winnipeg, the Grey Cup for me was a referendum on how you put together a championship football team. Mm. Hamilton, they went through a bunch of running backs this year.
Yep.
They don't know who the running back is going to be next year. I'm not sure they're concerned.
Okay.
They threw the ball all over the park, and they had two great quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg.
I know.
They ran through a bunch of quarterbacks. All of them might come back. One of them might. Two of them might. But they had the best running back in the league, and they had the best offensive line in the league, and they ran everyone to death, and they stopped the run on defense.
Hugely intriguing. Maybe the exception to the rule, though.
Well, it worked. It's funny that you say that, and I will be the first to tell you that I'm a lover of football all over the globe, and the football being played in the United States mm-hmm. right now, the Super Bowl is going to be a similar referendum. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
The 49ers completed 6 passes in the NFC Championship game. They ran the ball for 280-plus yards with 3 different running backs. And the Kansas City Chiefs are basically playing video game football with Patrick Mahomes, throwing it all over the place. So I think in the sport, regardless of the country, where you are in relation to the 48th parallel, there's a referendum in terms of how the sport is being played. And football is a copycat sport.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's throwing the ball around. Spread offenses, having these quarterbacks who are so good, so proficient, that they're completing high 60s, right, which is unheard of. And so now defenses are adjusting, getting smaller, getting basically more coverage players in the back end. So naturally, things flip. And if you run the ball efficiently to take advantage of that,
right,
then you are the new score, right? Like, there's a scouting thought that if everyone in the room is thinking the same thing, nobody is thinking.
Totally.
And I think we may revert back to like, we're running the football means something again. And so that's why, especially because these quarterbacks are kind of mediocre, the quarterbacks don't excite me as much. Although, having said all that, I said I was going to say someone on the bottom of the list. I don't want to say bottom.
Yeah, that's lower, unkind.
Lower on the list.
Okay.
Intrigues me.
Yes.
Sutton intrigues me.
Yeah.
Was with Hamilton, obviously, was picked up throughout the year. Hamilton's running back situation was fluid because of injury. Montreal, with a new GM, they've got some real salary cap issues, but they have a real issue at the running back position. Mm-hmm. Stanback is going to be playing in the United States. Jeremiah Johnson is a free agent and might come back. Terrell Sutton, he's known as an Alouette. That's where he made most of his career. He's also married to someone who works in the front office.
Mm-hmm.
So for life reasons and for football reasons, could you see Terrell Sutton go back to Montreal? I'm kind of petty, so if a team moved on from me, I'd be like, never again am I coming back. But I think it might make most sense.
But if your family was there, then that like trumps all,
yes,
doesn't
it? I think so. And I think he is, I mean, he proved that he could still play.
I mean, at all, it would be a great place to be. I say that understanding what Montreal, they've built there and Montreal, that you want to be there.
Yes. Montreal is the best.
Didn't mean it like
that. It is one of the best places to play in the league.
Absolutely.
30-year-old running backs are normally not highly seeked in free agency. I think he might be a unique differentiator in that
room. So here's a question for you.
Yeah.
if you think that potentially there's a bit of a flip in the way offenses are going to work, if mm-hmm. maybe people are going to adopt more running style based on what we've seen in down south and what we saw this past year, do running backs, good running backs, free agent running backs, go higher than they have in years past? There aren't a ton, actually, and there aren't a ton. I mean, in general, there's like, I know from playing fantasy football every week, I always really struggle at running back, but do they go higher?
I don't think so.
Do you think they go where they go?
I think, well,
you think people still want a really good receiver?
No, I think that it's all about economics.
Someone will go high
because there's a scarcity of that.
Understood.
Thing. There's a scarcity of number one receivers. There's a scarcity of defensive ends like Willie Jefferson. Scarcity of quarterbacks, period. Never mind, really good ones. Running backs, there is always
running backs.
A boatload ready to come out of the NCAA or NFL cuts, one. But now we're also, because of the success of Andrew Harris, because of the Hall of Fame career of John Cornish, mm-hmm. now we're seeing American talent evaluators give a longer look to Canadian running backs. Mm-hmm. And Hamilton is obviously an example of that
totally,
as well.
Totally.
So, so no, for all those reasons, I don't think running back will be high.
I don't think so either. I just wanted to hear what you had to say. So,
I mean, like James Wilder was begging the Argos to release him to make him a free agent, and they're like, "Yeah, okay, cool, peace, bye, thanks for the memories." So no, it's a cold, cold world for running backs.
So this list comes out this week, this mm-hmm. top 30 free agent list, these pending free agents. So I think next week you and Chezzy will have that list. Well, I know you'll have it, but I think you'll maybe do a full breakdown of that list. So that'll be a good episode. I'll tune into that and see where we all, where it all shakes
out. I'll complain on the,
Davis will have some hot takes. 100%.
100%. Let's do some power couples.
Okay.
Hit me. Because I already stole one of the things that intrigued you, so I don't want
to
step on your toes again.
I only thought we were doing one power couple, so I'll give you my one power couple that I came up with, and then you can dish me all of the power couples you have been noodling on.
Got a couple.
Ready?
Hit me.
Scott Milanovich.
Okay.
And Trevor Harris.
Okay.
Do we like it?
Back together again.
Back together again.
Like they took a break?
Yeah.
Ross and Rachel style?
Yes.
And now they're back together?
They're back together.
Okay, now, why do you like it?
Well, I like it because I'm like a sucker for a great story. They've stayed in touch over the last few years. Scott Milanovich makes his big return into a head coaching job. I was reading some article Morley Scott had written, and I need to say that our very own Chris O'Leary has a story coming out about Scott Milanovich, one of his, I think it's a long read, but like, it's going to be good. Mm. Remember last year Trevor Harris was tap dancing in the off season. His mom is a dance teacher to try and improve his footwork.
Yeah.
So this year he's taking gymnastics and boxing. So you have Trevor Harris who's coming in like creative and has spent his off season like doing all these things to get his own advantage. He gets reunited with his coach, his old coach from 2012 to 2015. And there's like fresh energy in Edmonton. And I like it.
Yeah. Scott Milanovich, very happy to be working with a high-level quarterback like Trevor Harris, because that was not the case in Jacksonville. so I'm sure he's ecstatic to move to the City of Champions in Edmonton. So before Milanovic was done, before Moss was out, at Grey Cup, I sat down with Trevor Harris for a story that will eventually come out on CFL.ca.
Beautiful.
This part of it will not, because it is very dated, which happens. But I talked to him about why Edmonton.
Okay.
Right, like you could, once you knew you weren't going back to Ottawa, you could have gone anywhere. Why Edmonton? And he said Jason Moss, and they had a working relationship, obviously from his previous stops.
And quarterbacks love him, but just because you were a quarterback doesn't mean you work well with others. Like it could, but it with Jason Moss, it seems really genuine from his experience from Ottawa and then into Edmonton.
Yeah,
and it seemed that way.
He loved what he did with Mike Riley. Mm-hmm. He looked at the amount of quarterbacks that Moss worked with that had their best years, no matter of their age, with him. And he really, really craved being coached by someone who also was a quarterback. he just felt like they get it. They get the emotions that a quarterback goes through throughout the game, the highs and lows, throughout the week in preparation, so they could see the game through the same eyes. That was really, really important to him. Mm-hmm. I said, wow, it was powerful. There's mm-hmm. a real bond between the two. And then when Moss was out, I was like, oh, this is not good. Because he committed to that franchise.
For that reason.
To Brock Sunderland for that reason. Mm-hmm. So it did not surprise me at all that Milanovic was the guy, because at least that's someone who he shares the same sort of kinship, same sort of relationship, same sort of history with. And Milanovic also was a quarterback, not as good as Moss was, but he understands what Trevor is going through. And he had Trevor like in his embryonic stages as a CFL player in right. Toronto when Trevor and Zach Caleros backed up Ricky Ray. So I do think it's going to be a good partnership. And Milanovic's offense is just so quarterback friendly. And I say that to say there's some offenses where, you know, you've got your, you take your 5-step drop or 7-step drop or 3-step drop and you go through your progression. And if this is not open, then look here. And if this is not open, then mm-hmm. look here. And if this is not open, well, shoot, you're in trouble. And Milanovic is a bit different in a way where the quarterback is always right.
Okay.
So it forces the defense to declare, to make a choice. Where's your safety? Is it going to be on the front side, the back side? If you go to the front side, then we're doing this, this, and this. If you go on the back side, we're doing this and this. But there's always options. I mean, someone may just run the wrong route or not get open. But there's always option built in that whatever the defense does, you can feel calm, you can feel safe, because we have a provision that takes care of that. And I do think Trevor, who's already so accurate and such a student of the game, will love being in Milanovic's offense again. And so that's a good call by you.
It was kind of low-key.
My instinct
was to go for pinball because he is the power couple of all power couples. Like, you put anyone with him and you're like, you win. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go off the board a little bit. So that was my thought on that. So who do you have?
So, of course, pinball.
Yeah, of course.
And so,
how could you not?
And so, but I'm interested.
But with who?
Well, that's the question.
Because I thought about it and I thought, well, who would I even pick? And then I thought, I don't know. I got stuck, to be honest.
So the pinball is the relationship. Is it managing up mm-hmm. in his relationship with Bill Manning?
Yep.
Who basically hounded him until he took the job? Or is it managing down in his relationship with Dinwiddie,
right?
His new coach,
right?
And so I'm going to go down. I'm going to go with Dinwiddie. But when you look at the through line between the three of them, mm-hmm. that relationship in Toronto is a fascinating one because you have little to no experience of all of those men in those roles. Bill Manning has been a president before, obviously. He's done a great job with TFC. But he doesn't have a background in football, specifically CFL football. So in terms of contacts, you know, relationships throughout the league, what he's looking for, he's literally learning on the job. And it's his second job, right? And so Bill Manning is relatively new to it. Pinball, he's been a coach. He's obviously been a player and a great ambassador. He hasn't been a GM. I haven't seen pinball at the East-West game hand-timing people running. Like, that's not been a part of his thing. He's been jet-setting around the country, speaking keynote addresses to Fortune 500 companies.
It's a beautiful thing.
Very beautiful.
If you haven't seen it.
Yes. And so with all the work that he's had with his foundation and his other philanthropic work, plus his own, you know, business interests, I mean, Bill Manning has two jobs. Pinball has 20. So he's new in this role.
Yeah.
Then when you go to the head coach,
yeah,
you're looking at someone who hasn't even been a coordinator, hasn't really called plays. Now he's calling the attention to an entire roster. So I'm looking at that relationship like, you know, the reality shows where...
I will. What, hit me.
What's,
what's, now I'm like, what if I don't?
What's the one called where you basically meet someone and marry them on the show? Like, not The Bachelor, but...
Yeah.
It's like you marry someone like...
Well, there was 90 Day Fiancé, but that's not the one. There was like another one where I think you had to propose by the end of the show. I didn't watch it, but I know what you're talking about. So you guys know what we're talking about.
Sure.
Sure.
That's pretty much the situation in Toronto. Like,
you're like, this is it.
Pinball is like, I'm looking for, you know, a new partner, and he chose like a young, I don't want to say trophy partner, trophy wife or husband. But he chose a young, energetic person that he's going to ride through maybe some rough patches with, because I don't think that it's the best person for the job for the 2020 season.
Yeah.
But I think the thought is by 2023-24, he'll grow into the best person for the job. And they'll all grow together. And they're giving themselves a long runway for success. So,
and who knows who's looking for a mentor. But if I had that opportunity, I'd be like, bring it on. Bring on pinball.
100%.
We don't know if either of them are looking for a mentor. But I'd be like, okay, yeah. I'll take pinball as my mentor any day.
Yeah. My Monday morning motivation from pinball would be outstanding.
So that's your power couple. But are you including Bill?
No, I'm going to exclude Bill.
Okay.
He was there before. Okay. This has been relatively new transaction.
I like it.
Pinball has given Dinwiddie his first impression rose, and we'll see how it goes.
The Bachelor is so bad this year.
He can make it to hometowns.
Ugh.
So if that's the reality show in Argoland with that couple, Montreal fascinates me.
Always.
I feel like it's a bit of an arranged marriage.
Tell me.
Well, I mean, it was done out of order. So obviously Kahari did a great job. Team's 10-8. The buzz is back in Montreal.
Love it all.
He gets his contract extension.
Yes.
But new owners come in. Sid Spiegel and Gary Stern. They're hit the ground running looking for a new GM. And then the guy who's been rumored to be back with that franchise, it seems like every offseason, poor Montreal Caravan recruits had to listen to it every year. Finally, it's true. And Danny Machocha comes back and is the GM. But he's in super late. It's January. As you mentioned, free agency is upon us. Yeah. He's got to catch up.
People have done good with less time, though.
Jim Pop won a Grey Cup.
Correct.
Super late. Correct. In Toronto.
That's exactly who
he's no longer there.
But it worked, sort of.
The love ship Argonaut worked originally. But he comes back, and now Kahari has been having to get his assistant coaches to go to the U.S. and scout bowl games because the front office was basically depleted because there wasn't a GM. And now Machocha comes in, and are they philosophically aligned? Who's deciding what they do? And they surprised everyone this year. They're not going to surprise anybody next year.
Fair.
And if they move back off of second in the East, if they move back off of 10-8, mm-hmm. people are going to be looking at the new guy being like, why'd you mess with a good thing, Danny? And so but also remember, Danny Petrucci was also a head coach, was also a Grey Cup winning head coach. So he's going to have his own ideas on how to coach the football team. So how that arranged marriage works, I think, is interesting and bears watching.
I mean, there are worse people to go in and have to try and get up to speed with.
Oh,
and
100%.
I'm sure Kahari's been managing that situation like a boss. The boss that he is.
Yes. I mean, the
which
one
is amazing.
The one thing that is great is that, I mean, Kahari Pinball 1A, 1B on best smile in the league, right? So positive. And I really have,
friendly smiles.
Yes. And I have a lot of time for Danny too. And he gets that market, how important football is to them, because he was born in it, right? He's lived through it. And so it would be really cool, after delivering a Vanier Cup championship to Montreal, winning it in Montreal as coach of the Caravan, if he could do the same thing for the Owls.
And I love a good story. So there you go. What's next?
We're talking about couples. We're talking about you basically the royal wedding of the CFL.
Oh my God, please.
The Royals are moving to the country. And I don't know if you've heard.
Megxit.
Yes, Megxit.
I've heard. I can tell you the only news I was keeping up on my honeymoon was this news.
So naturally, they're going to be fans of the Canadian game because it's the best version of football.
Of course.
But what teams are they going to cheer for?
Oh, Donovan. Well, we know they're out west. We know they're on Vancouver Island. Mm-hmm. So BC Lions would be the natural choice should they want to take in a game at BC Place. But Megan's best friend lives in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. I think Megan becomes an Argonaut fan.
Yep.
She's got ties here. She filmed Suits here.
Yep. Lived here for 7 years.
There you go.
Loves the city.
Meghan Markle should be the global ambassador of the Toronto Argonauts. Like, she should be their Drake.
Yes.
I'm all about it. And then
I'm so about it.
And then I think there's going to be a little in relationship rivalry.
Does Harry go for a different team? Is that what you're suggesting?
I think Harry goes.
Has to.
Harry goes for BC.
Coast to coast. Yep.
You know, he'll be the redhead that BC Lions love, right under Travis Lule. Right. I mean, the color scheme goes with his flow. I just think it works out perfectly. And then there will be a chance every year.
Yeah.
That their two teams meet in the Grey Cup.
Totally.
Imagine a Royal Grey Cup.
Imagine.
BC versus Toronto.
I love it. And I love them. It's really? So great. I do.
Do you care about the Royals?
I do. Because
I couldn't care less.
I do.
I get it. The Queen, she's on our money. Like, I get it. Commonwealth. I get it.
Have you watched anything on them on Netflix? Like, have you watched The Crown? Have you watched The Windsors? I think it's six parts docu. No. Couldn't but be.
I've watched basically every single Princess Diana doc.
Me too.
That has been
in her
done.
Own words.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
But I have not watched The Crown.
Anyway.
Should I?
I think it's brilliant TV.
Okay. I'll get into it.
You can download it. So if you're on a long flight, especially, like, I like anything you can play when you fly.
Yes.
I'm big on that. Download in Wi-Fi and then enjoy it on the plane.
I'm adding it to the list.
I'm hot on that.
As we were taping this, International Sweatpants Day.
It is?
Yeah.
Why didn't I know about this morning?
No idea. I did.
Shoot.
Hence why I'm wearing sweatpants. There's an international day for everything at this point. Every
so
day
dumb.
Is an international Hate sweatpants
it.
Day.
Unless it's International Sweatpants
Day. Yeah, I guess
or like
so.
Donut Day.
I mean, for me, every day is International Sweatpants Day because I love to live in sweatpants.
And you look good in them. Like, you can dress them up. I wear sweatpants. It's tragic. You wear sweatpants. You look so cool.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you that. Well, that was my question because I actually, you know.
Oh, sorry.
I went to a sports bar on the weekend and had a sweatpants tuxedo, just sweatpants on the top, sweatpants on the bottom. And I looked around, there's people like doing the Toronto brunch thing, dressed up, heels, whatever, faux fur. And I'm like, have I just let myself go?
No.
Like, the fact that I'm wearing sweats, is that a problem that I'm too comfortable? The same thing I would wear to like wash my car or go to the mall, I'm wearing to an establishment. So my question for you is, and viewers who's made it this far into the podcast, thank you. let us know. Hit us up on IG or on Twitter. How far can you push the envelope? Like, what life scenarios can you wear sweatpants? And then when's that cutoff? Because I'm technically wearing them to work right now. Like, I'm in a working establishment. I'm wearing sweatpants. Is that too far?
Davis wears sweatpants all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they look really good on him too. Like, he knows how to wear sweatpants. You know how to wear sweatpants. We have to give a better visual.
When you
like,
say know how to wear sweatpants, it's
you're put your selecting left the style
leg
to be clear.
Through and then
no,
your
no,
right
no, no.
leg through tie the drawstring.
Okay,
like,
so what I
that's
mean,
it.
There's like a baggy roots sweatpant that is like frumpy. It looks like your pajamas. It's not cool. Then
the cottage
there's Davis.
Sweatpant?
Yeah, like a cottage sweatpant, like the sweatpant that I wear. Then there's a sweatpants that Davis wears. He's bought them at like the fancy section of the sporting store. They're like double the price. He wears them with a cool pair of sneakers. That's different. That's kind of like the male equivalent of women wearing leggings.
Oh, interesting.
Wouldn't you
never
say?
Thought of it. I had never thought
and
of that.
And I push the envelope on when I'm allowed to
on
wear
the
leggings.
Okay.
There's strong opinions on that, but I really go for it.
Is this a divisive issue?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's like, especially in the States, like sweatpants aren't pants. Don't wear them. Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Got it. So sweatpants are the
like
male
nice sweatpants.
Equivalent, nice sweat, like a
yeah,
little,
yeah, yeah.
like a tapered sweatpant.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
It's the male equivalent to leggings. Okay, I don't feel as bad.
You're fine. You're great.
Right.
How many ladies wear leggings to brunch? All of them.
Yeah.
Most of them. You're
all
good.
Right. Good.
We figured it out.
We figured out who the Royals are going to be cheering for and when I can and cannot wear
only
sweatpants.
Only when Brody Lawson is on the podcast. You're welcome.
Well, it's always fun when you are. So thanks.
Thanks for having me.